Let me read you this. An open letter, I saw this the other day, I thought it was pretty interesting. An open letter to my parents. I am your child. You have brought me into this world and raised me to what I am today. If I am not what I should be, please do not be too harsh with me, for I am your product. And by my actions, I advertise the quality standards of home. Do not point at me, one of my playmates, as an example of how I should behave, for by doing so, you are admitting that they are doing a better job than you. You say you are a Christian, and yet when church time comes, you make little effort to attend, giving me no encouragement to be in God's house either. You say that you love me, and yet it has been years since you put your arms about me at bedtime, and with tears in your eyes, ask your Heavenly Father to watch over me while I sleep. Can I inject something there? We miss that. And I'll tell you something else we miss. We miss eating together. We're so rushed, so instant McDonald's. Do your best to some, could be breakfast, doubt if it could be lunch because everybody's busy, or supper. Why don't you sit at the table and eat and laugh and tell jokes and enjoy yourself daily? Amen. We missed it. Everybody's going, and nobody has any time for each other. Especially at night. That little girl, that little boy, I don't care their age. Like this morning, I walked into our living room, and my grandson was laying there, Luke, and Braden was there, and I went over and kissed him on the cheek and said, I love you, boys. Some kids never get that. Never. Some kids are not hugged, and I don't touch these girls. It's a rule. Wish I could. Wish I could sit them on my lap like a granddaughter and say, I love you, care about you. I do Elise. She's my granddaughter, and I got three grandsons. Fixing to have the second granddaughter. She's coming from the Philippines. My daughter's going to adopt a girl from 6 to 10. This is what she told me. And it thrilled my heart. She said, Daddy, said God laid it on our hearts that we can take somebody who really doesn't have a future, and we can bring them here, she can get saved, and she can go to college and be somebody. Amen. She said, I feel like God told me to do that. I wonder where she got that. Yeah. Now, I'm not accusing anybody in here of not doing these things. I hope you see my heart, okay? You seem to be more interested in my school grades than in the condition of my eternal soul. You give me the impression that it's better to be popular than to be pure. Better to be attractive on the outside than to have that inner beauty that comes to one who loves the Lord. We start too young, I think, trying to make our girls adults. Don't. You don't want an older man be gawking your 15-year-old daughter. Amen, Preacher Jimmy.
Amen.
Amen. And you don't want an older man gawking your wife. Amen. There's nothing wrong with keeping care of yourself, but don't advertise it. Amen, preacher. I only got this morning. All right, hang on. So the next time you feel like throwing up your hands and saying, I just can't do anything with you, please remember you have had the opportunity to to influence me since I was born. And the Bible says, train up a child in the ways he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I remember as a little boy, we didn't go to church when I was a teenager. God was my sports. But I remember as a little boy going to sit behind my grandmother. She'd sit right there where you two are seated, Trey, you and your wife. And I'd sit behind her. And my little granny, now she was a shouter. Wished I had her with me now. Because it was real. It wasn't no fake. She had a little hair on bun on top. She wasn't no Church of God. She was a Baptist, but she had that little bun on top of her head. And she'd raise her hand like that, and I'd sit behind her, and I'd say, you know, I didn't know what happened, but I said, business fixed to pick up. And then my little granny would raise her hand like that and wave it. And she wasn't a loud shouter, but she'd come up, and she'd raise her little hands like I say, whoopee. Wished I had her with me today. So I hope you'll listen. I'm just an old simple preacher, very simple. But if you learn God's chain of command, you know your position. And in that position, there's opportunities. I've heard Jack Isle say this years ago. He says, I hate to be a leader. I don't want to be a leader. I hate it. I hate to make decisions. I hate this. I hate that. Well, in your position as a man, God's going to put you in certain leadership. I mean, why did God choose me to lead farmer? I don't know. Little country boy. I have no idea. But he did. So let's just look at it. I'm going to give you a few verses, and we'll Brother Jimmy's going to take me to eat, and then we'll be done. No, we'll take care of that. But I just, let's get it. There's God. There's Dad. There's Mom. There's children. Then the government. Okay? Y'all ready to sing?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's sing a couple songs.
Yes, look what God has done for you.
Always run to.
Look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. Picked you up and carried you through. He's done what no other could do. Look what God done for you.
When you were hunt, when you needed trouble, he was your dearest friend.
When you needed someone, he was there until the end.
Through trials and blessings, he's been faithful and true.
Look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. Picked you up and carried you through. He's done what no other could do. Look what God has done for you.
My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him, for he maketh no mistake. For by and by the mist will lift, and planted all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake.
Look what God has done for you. Picked you up and carried you through. He's done what no other could do. Look what God has done for you.
Giving of dying, of where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, God save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free all his will. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Now my life's worth living. Since I've been forgiven for Christ, made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, for heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan still lies, and he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. And look back at Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free all is well. I'm not going to hell.
Thank you, girls. That was good. Psalm 42, please. Psalm 42, look at verse number 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I was thinking about the word command, God's chain of command. Everything's got a chain of command, like this church. God has given you a shepherd, but underneath that shepherd, he's given a lot of good workers. One of the main biblical things, a deacon. So God's got his chain command in there, and under there you can have secretaries, you can have, like me, I'm under a local church. I have an authority over me. That's my local church. And then underneath there, then I have certain authority, then I put authority and authority and authority. It's a chain of command, just like wherever you work. You got a chain of command. Church has a chain of command. God's it. Well, the family has a chain of command. And we don't fight God. We don't get caught up with Oprah Winfrey. Their kind of philosophies. We don't do that. They're not kin to God. Say amen right there. Amen. Oh, no, they're not. They're not. They're humanists. Those kind of people like that, I pray for. I'd try to win her to God if she'd want to talk to me. Be glad to. But See, everything's got a chain of command. I looked up the word command. It was quite interesting. It says to bid, to order, to direct, to charge, implying authority or power to control or to require obedience. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Excuse me just a minute. It means to govern, lead or direct, to have or to exercise supreme authority over. Now, as I read this, you think about the chain of command of God. The chain of command for God. God, man, or dad, mom, children, and government. So when you're reading this, it fits in very, very well, especially if you got a Webster's Dictionary of 1828. Say amen right there. If you got that one, it's got a lot of Bible references. It's to have in power, to be able to exercise power or authority over, to overlook or have in power of the eye without obstruction, to have or to exercise or controlling influence over. So we have our supreme authority. And then underneath God, there's a chain of command. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One of the main ministries of the Holy Spirit, the charismatics has got it wrong. One of the main ministries of the Holy Spirit is, once you get saved, is to lead you in the path of righteousness. When you do unrighteousness, you're going against God, the Spirit. That's what you're doing. And as long as you walk in the Spirit as God and realize He's my authority, you'll always do right. People say, how do I make decisions? How do I know what's right? I tell you how to. God operates in the realm of peace. The devil operates in the realm of confusion. This past week, I started preaching a message on who killed that comedian, Robert Williams. Robin, who killed him? I also started to preach about that boy getting killed on the racetrack. Who killed him? They're making a lot of accusations, but I can tell you who killed him. It's called anger. Should have not been out there on that road. So I would preach against anger. But I don't want to get diverted there off of that, but as long as we do that, we have a supreme authority. And that supreme authority happens to be my Heavenly Father. And then the Holy Spirit of God in my life, He guides me in the path of righteousness. How can I lead these girls? Humanly, as a human being, how can I lead them? It's not me. That's when we put the Word of God in them. That's who's going to sustain them. That's who's going to keep them from sin. That's the one's going to work in their life. That's who's going to work in your life. When you choose sin, you choose against the Holy Spirit. You choose against God. You're not letting Him be your ruler. You're not letting Him be your authority. You're not letting Him be the supreme being who's in control. When somebody comes along and says they believe in evolution, oh, nonsense. No such thing. Because why? There's a supreme being that created it all. And for me to bring it down to where man can do something, no, you don't do that. See, it's about God's chain of command. They want to fight it. So you have God. You have Him there as the first being. Let me give you just verses. Just listen. In Psalm 44:4 says, "Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob." See, when God is your authority, you can bring down walls like Jericho. See, we don't understand that today. We don't understand how the sea parted. But friends, God has not changed. If God needs to part a sea for you or me, He can do it. It's just somebody's got to have enough faith to believe it. So when that authority is there, so God, you got to establish, that's my rule book. That's my guide. Right now I'm putting a book together. Miss Angel's helping me. And we're putting a book together. It's called Staff Requirements and then Day School Requirements. She's doing a great job helping me do that. And why am I doing that? Because you got authority, then you got somebody under you. And that people under you, they got to choose to follow authority. And when you don't do that, then it, and I could get ahead of myself, because when kids don't choose to obey mom and dad, and then when mom don't choose to obey dad, but dad ought to obey God. That's when it gets out of whack. That's when it gets out of whack when we fix a requirement for staff. So we got to know our position. Not that a man is better than a woman, or a child is lesser than mom and dad. It has nothing to do with it. That's what the world talks about. So when we get a hold of that, God is it. God is everything. God is my supreme authority. God is who I must bow down to. And we have a Christian school. Our Christian school is part of what's called a non-public schools. We're incorporated. We got all that. CLA helped me get all that together. But we do not operate under their auspices, where we can't pray, we can't teach, we can't take the Bible. I'll never cease to not doing that. Never. Never. I'll never bow down to where you can't corporally punish them. You can't, because why? My authority is God. God's word says I can do it. Do you understand? You got to get your authority right. I respect our president, even though I didn't vote for him. I respect him. I pray for him. I will do that. But some of these things, no, can't do it. Because my authority is God. And that's how Baptists were burned at the stake, because of what they believed. And for preachers, they would put green wood under them and let them burn slowly. And while they were burning, bring me my Bible. And they'd read it. See, if you ever get him as your authority, you'll die for him. And you won't change. And what we got now, we're trying to straddle the fence, trying to have both of them. Can't work. That's the reason we're in the mess we're in. Amen. So you got God. Then you got Dad. And Dad, a lot of responsibility fall on you and me. I mean, we lowered ourselves now that people, they can't even define what a real family is. It's almost more people shack up than they do marry. Hey, by the way, that's still sin. Yes, sir, that's sin. Young people, don't do it. You wait on God. You wait on your mate. Don't you dare do something like that. And Dad, you got to set that example. As a dad, I didn't get saved. I was 22 years of age, and I didn't. And I wish I'd got saved sooner, but when I got saved, God changed my life, and it's been in a different direction. And I'm not much, but I've tried to set an example. I try to set an example for these girls. My wife and I do. We want to. But as a dad, you're there. Now, Dad, I ask you a question. Are you right with God this morning as a dad? Dad, if you're not right with God, Mama's going to have to bypass you. There's a lot of women come to church by themselves. They have to bypass their husbands. A lot of children come to church. They have to bypass Dad. I preached up in Culpeper, Virginia not too long ago. I believe it was June. I forget what I preached. It's the first time I ever preached this. So it wasn't this message. There's a whole row set in front of them. They had two rows of seats, about like this. No, three rows of seats, that's right. And there was a man sitting in the middle right here. And I noticed while I was preaching, they were crying. And I noticed that even the boy leaned over his daddy and was talking. And I was wondering, what in the world are they saying? Got through, the man, 58 years of age. He came forward and got saved. Amen. He come a big man, about your size. come over, and that big old man grabbed me and hugged me. I said, you don't have to kill me. I just, that's okay. I know I'm saved, but let's wait a little longer before you kill me, all right? He hugged me, and he was crying. He says, I don't thank you. He said, you talked to me this morning. He said, my boy leaned over and said, Daddy, I can't take no more. Because they'd been arguing at home that morning. And I brought it out. I didn't know. I said, some of you fussed on the way to church today. You were mad at your daddy. And I said, some of you teenagers, you're mad at your daddy. Daddy's mad at you. That was him. He said, sir, you described me this morning. Dad, you're the key. Dad, you're the key. You're the key. I don't want to be the key. Dad, you're the key. That's the way God set it up. He's your authority. He's my authority. He's this church's authority. Matter of fact, he's the whole world's authority. Because we believe that. Amen? Believe with all our heart. So, Dad, you're next. Listen to this verse. In Acts 5:28, it says, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring these man's blood upon us. Ephesians 6:4, this is the other verse I said I'd like to teach. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I could tell you what nurture and admonition means, simply this, just like I did this other, simply this. Nurture's the everyday things. Cleanliness, straightness, fixing your room up. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's the nurture. That's the part that we're supposed to... You dads, you fathers. Mama, daddy had a belt, called it Old Black Joe. And all mama would do is look at me and say, boy, daddy's coming home and he's going to get Joe after you. Guess what? Jim straightened up. Yeah, daddy, the nurture part. Don't you ever let your kid sass your wife. Never. I took over when he did, or she did. You're not going to sass my wife. You're going to respect her. You're not going to treat her that way. Uh-uh. Dad, help your wife. Now, the world don't like it. These people, but he did make one of us weaker. The Bible says that. I'm sorry. Doesn't mean you're less a person. But if he's your authority, you're going to take his word. Dad, don't let your boy have to bypass you. The nurture part is the everyday part. The admonition part is this, discipline. No, you're not wearing that. Forget it. No, you're not going to grow your hair out like a girl boy. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, read the whole thing. If you read and take it literally, you'll know how a woman ought to wear her hair and man ought to wear her hair. It's up to you. If you believe he's your authority, you get in it. Dad, don't let mama have to bypass you. 9 talks about mothers. I thank God for my mother. My mother was a little short lady, sort of skinny. Mother was a sickly person. It's no telling how many operations my mother had. Very sickly. Daddy was a heavier set man, but my mom was skinny, thin, sick. I thank God for my mother. She was a simple woman, not educated. My mother had to quit school. My daddy had to quit school. Daddy had to, they had a large family, and his dad died, so he had to go to work. But mother, she wasn't an educated person, but I'm going to tell you something about mom. Mom worked hard. She set an example. She was true to her husband. Sometimes children have to bypass mama and daddy to God. Chain of command, sometimes I have to bypass them. I've never understood why a man drop his wife off at the door of church and don't come in himself. Might be some ladies sitting out here this morning. That's you. It's not the best, but you keep coming. But I've seen people drop them off the door and then the man drive on home. In the back seat's a little boy. Daddy, you showing him what to do. I've seen it. Hey, before I got saved, me and Daddy and me and my dad and my other brothers, we'd go out to the school and we'd hit golf balls. We didn't go to church. I didn't get saved. I was 22 years of age. The only reason I got saved because the man on the flat line showed me an example of Christ. My daddy provided for us, but my daddy for us spiritually, he didn't take me to church because he didn't go. Now, he didn't drink, he didn't party, he didn't do stuff like that. He just didn't go. Guess what? I didn't go. Mom, how about it? In Mom, let's teach about tradition. Let's talk to them. Let's take time with them. Let's teach them. They will pick up on what you teach them. They'll definitely do that. Now the children. Children, you're supposed to be subjected to Mom. You're supposed to be subjected to Dad. And then the whole family to God. Amen. That's God's command. I've always said this, if you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. You're not. If you got an odd with Mom, if you got an odd with Dad, and you're mad, you go to bed mad, you need to get it settled. And if you're not right with authority like that, then God has set the chain of command, and He does that. Now, the sad picture we have in America today, moms and dads, a lot of them are not right with God. And I'm not picking at anybody, but how can a couple live together, not married, and have children, and show them the example? Yeah. Wow, that's where we're living. And some great, great grandparents are raising their grandchildren because of a sorry mom and daddy. Now, I'm not kicking it. I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying it's wrong. That's the best they got to offer. So grandma and grandpa, if you got grandchildren, raise them for God. Give them something they've never had. Give them something for hope and security when they're alone. And give them a God that can guide them. My, since I started preaching this to y'all this morning, I wish I could preach this to the world. I wish I could. I've often pictured myself in a football stadium where I used to play, standing on a platform preaching them something like this. I've always thought about that. May never get to do it. But this morning, let's deal with ourselves. So children, I went over that pretty good in Sunday school, so I don't have to go that. But let's talk about the government. Listen, let the Bible say something here. In Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government," can I say that again? "And the government," can I say that again? "And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We're not leaning on their shoulders, but we've become a society of give me, take care of me, provide for me, laziness. And Dad, if you're lazy, shame on you. You're setting a poor example for your son. Learn to get up early. Learn to go to bed late. Learn it. And you'll always have a job. And you can always provide. But we got a bunch of sorry people that's lazy. God, I respect our government, and I want to respect it. I served in the Air Force. I spent my time in the Vietnam War. I'm glad I did. Jim spent his time. We're both thrilled we did. I don't take nothing. I honor the government. I'd go back today to fight the Iraqians. I'd go today. Have to get me a few knee braces, but I want the biggest gun I got. Rambo Clark's here, man. Let's get it. Amen? Why? I'm fighting for these teenagers. I'm fighting my grandchildren. My life's been spent. We got adults my age acting like kids. Trying to dye their hair, put something on top of their head. Trying to slender down a little bit and get hunky. Oh, hogwash. Why don't you just work and provide for your wife and your kids and grandchildren? Amen? See, that's how messed up we are. I respect our government. I honor our government. I love America 200%. I'll fight for it. I'll do whatever I have to. However, they're not my Savior. They're not your Savior. And I respect them. However, God's got a chain of command. Why was America birthed? Do you know why America was started? Do you know why they left England? You know why that all happened? It's taxation and freedom of religion. That's why we left. That's why America was founded. Where are we today? We're almost ready. Let's go look for another island. Amen? See us? Yeah, that's where we are. Same mess. I've just been reading about Baptist history and reading about how the Baptists had such an influence in the Constitution. It's unreal. We don't have nothing to set back about. We can be proud of our heritage. Yeah. But more than that, we have a Savior who is our Lord and our law. Amen? Amen. So I'm just asking you about your chain of command. Government does not run our homes. Government does not raise our children. Government does not teach our children. In California, they got a big thing going on right now. You're going to see it. It's called gender identity disorder. They're teaching it in the primary, like the kindergarten, first grade. Gender identity disorder. What they're doing, they're teaching little boys, you're not a boy, you're a girl. And they're teaching little girls, you're not a real girl, you're a boy. Gender identity disorder. God never ordained them to raise our children. Right. Never. Can I tell you something else? Around the 1900s, Farmer Girls Academy was started in 1878. It was started in a Methodist church. Guess what it was? It was a girls' academy. 1878 it was started in a Methodist church. All schools were in churches. Around the 1900s, there's a guy named Horace Mann. In the 1900s, Horace Mann came popular on evolution. And they knew the only way that they could teach evolution, we got to get them away from the church and got to get them away from mama. That's how your public school started. Love you. Not mad at you. I went to a public school, so I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to lay it out there, the chain of command. And now they take them and put them in your school. It's totally humanistic. Love you. Not mad at you. I'm just telling you, government's on the bottom. God ordained. You got God, you got dad, you got mom, you got children, you got the government. Now, if you work for the government, I'm not against you. My son-in-law is a major in the Air Force. Proud of him. I love it. There's a lot of government things that they do. It helps us. But I'm just saying to you this morning, where are you in your chain of command? Be honest with yourself. I tell you what I do. I'll let all the women stand up and tell us about your husband. I'm glad mine's not here. I'd be in trouble. We all would be. Who in here is what you should be? And Mom, a lot of it falls on your shoulders. I'm pulling for you. Amen. Why does old football players who come on at the end of a football game, they have a tooth knocked out, they never say, "Please tell Dad I said hey." Nah. Tell Mom I said hey. That's why. Because Mom sticks with her kids. Now it's changing though. That's why grandparents has got to raise them. Used to, Mom would take them no matter what. But now they split up. They don't want them no more. Get out of my life. Now, we can't change those people out there. I can't change them. You can't change them either. But I just know this. We have an opportunity this morning. I tell you what we want to do. I want every head bowed, please. Why don't you take your wife by the hand, and why don't you children, I know you're sitting together and you've been very respectful, and I thank you. Why don't you children go to your mom and daddy right now and get out of your seat and go to your mom and daddy and come around the altar together and pray as a family. Why don't you do that tonight, this morning, I mean. Let's stand up with our heads bowed. The altar is open. Some of you might need to come to the altar. You just get your family together and come get around the altar, or come sit on the front pew, or kneel down here and pray together. God has a chain.